Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, 8 o'clock hour. Traffic is smooth outside right now. You just look outside and say, it's not too bad. Don't hear a lot of wrecks going on right now. Jay Binkley, JT Noah producing the operation. Text line chiming in about this a lot, saying they're horrible with pain, the 720. Rather get spit on, though. It's crazy that sounds. Rather get spit on than that. But impromptu, we didn't have any guests planned today. But we talked about fried deviled eggs. And obviously, Thanksgiving's tomorrow. Got a bunch of comments about fried deviled eggs. JT fancies himself as a chef. He's never had them before. One place that does have them. No, you haven't had them before, right?
Yeah, no.
But you fancy yourself as a cook.
I do.
There. Well, you got to make them. And you're going to learn how to in just a second. So I reached out to Jay Music, who owns Bar Bar Barbecue. It's the only place I've ever had them. I've been getting barbecue from this guy out of his garage, right? Then he had a food truck. It's the all-American dream. And then he had a brick-and-mortar establishment. But he's going to tell us, because the text line really, really wants to know about these eggs. What's up, Jay? Talking to Jay Music of Bar Bar Barbecue. How do we make these eggs, Jay?
Well, they're really simple. I mean, they're just not much different than making your normal deviled eggs, except for we just take it, you know, one little step further.
Okay.
And then we bread them and dredge them and, you know, fry them. So It can be a little bit of a process when you're doing 3 dozen at a time, but you know,
3 dozen at a time.
Yeah.
Do people buy these for Thanksgiving, Jay?
We got tailgate packages where people will buy them in the tailgate package. They'll get like a dozen at a time, or they get the traditional eggs that, you know, in their package if they choose so. So.
Well, it's Thanksgiving. It's what you do. It's barbecue. It's deviled eggs. JT was saying that people give them crap for deviled eggs, and that's like a staple on Thanksgiving. I mean, it's like a turkey. It's like turkey. I mean, deviled eggs, what you have, and to fry them? You kidding me? I've had them before. I've actually had these before, so I can talk about how damn good they are.
They are. So what we do is we take the egg, you know, you separate the yolk from the white, and then we take the whites, and then we do a simple dredge into seasoned flour. Mm. And then we go into an egg and milk mix, and then roll them in panko.
Yeah.
And then you get, but there is a technique to make sure they get all nice and coated, and you know you don't want them falling apart. But it is a little bit of a technique. You know, it's simple, but also technique.
Yeah, I didn't want to run it for you too, because you know you do have a business to run. You need people to buy them. I do not make things. I prefer to buy them, so I'm in that category where I go to the pros, like you, Jay.
I hear you.
Like you, Jay, and what you guys have done. I appreciate it, man. We've had a bunch of comments on these eggs and how to do it. I wish I could explain it, but I can't. That's why I go to you. You're the pro at making these eggs. And JT will hopefully make these for tomorrow, too, now that you know from Jay. All right, Jay, I got to ask you this, though, before I go, though. Would you rather be spit on or hit in the junk?
I mean, probably hit in the junk, because I feel like if I get spit on, it's probably going to end up in my mouth.
Yeah.
And you can't get that out.
Yeah.
But at least I can recover from getting hit in the junk.
Okay, because it happened to a 49er, right, against the Panthers this week.
Yeah, I saw that.
Been suspended for a game. So I was just curious, would you rather be spit on or hitting the jewels, you know? Just, it's one of those things that's debatable.
I saw the loogie at the Eagles guy spit on Dak, and that was not – a lot.
Yeah, that was – and Jamar Chase that said he didn't do it clearly did it because he puts out an apology for it. What are you apologizing for? Didn't apologize to the actual guy you did it to. You apologized to the organization. How about the dude you hawked a loogie on?
Yeah, I mean, that's the person that needs the apology.
785 is asking me if they go get these things catered. And I'm saying, hell yeah, Jay will get you anything you want.
We're open all day today, and then we got to-go orders tomorrow.
Well, thank you for explaining this to me, Jay, because these are a unique creation. We get Thanksgiving tomorrow, so thank you for your expertise.
You're welcome. Great listening to you, buddy.
All right, Jay, take care, my friend.
Thank you.
Here you go, Jay, right there from Barbed Wire. Hey, do you understand that now? It sounds like kind of a process.
Yeah, it sounds like a process. It's not that easy. I thought maybe you just took the egg and you just
dropped
it in.
No, it's a process,
nope,
there's
man. There's a process.
It's a process to it. But anyway, that's why I choose to go to the pros for that. So anyway, moving on to college football before we look at the tail of the tape between the Chiefs and the Cowboys. So last night, you tune in as the fourth ratings out. They get two more after this. One more on Tuesday, then you have the final one on a Sunday to determine the college football playoff, 12 teams. Now, ESPN has been granted an extension. It looks like they're going to have the rights to it. So the Big Ten is proposing 24 teams in the playoff. The SEC has said they're fine with 16. I think 16 is a good number, to be honest with you, because then you don't have that debate. Like, you're going to have some two-loss teams on the outside looking in, like a Vanderbilt, and you got to make the debate, do they belong in the playoffs or not? And I do want to see these teams, and I'm glad they expanded to 12, because let's face it, if they just had four, it was great. Well, they went to two, and they got rid of the BCS and said, we'll take the two best teams. That's fine. But then they went to four, and they it's like, what are you doing? Not done yet. Because Ohio State, I'll tell you this much, they wouldn't have made it last year, and they were the national champions. So you want the best of the best playing. But anyway, so USC and Seton Hall is on at six. There was 10 minutes left in this game. You're like, okay, they're not getting this in. And then so all the people, the college football fans, all upset about this, and the college football playoffs actually tweeted out the actual college football playoffs organization about having to sit and wait on this. And then all of a sudden the game kept dragging on. Then it became college basketball game with the last couple minutes that takes forever. Then the last minute took forever. And it went all the way to like 6:50. I mean, it was bad before they put it on. And I kept waiting for the scroll to say at the bottom, the college football playoff rankings have been moved to ESPNU or ESPN News. Or ESPNU, or any of the damn ESPN channels. They got a million. Or SEC Network, ACC, wherever you want to put it. They could put it anywhere. And they could have designed to put it on there because all that matters is the rankings. And the rankings would have come out. You'd have seen them on X or Instagram, whatever social media you use. They would have put the rankings out there, written articles about it. People ready to do it at that point to debate the issues. But no, they waited. And they drug it on. And then, of course, they always interview the chair afterwards, the chair of the committee. Was Mac Rhodes, former AD at Missouri. He's at Baylor now. He stepped away. He's got some issues. He steps away. So they put the AD of Utah on the committee. It's supposed to be a 13-member panel, but it's 12 members this year. Chris Ault, the guy the Chiefs brought in as a consultant back in the day for the pistol offense, one of the members on this committee. But anyway, Reese Davis had a chance to interview the AD of Arkansas, who's the chair of this committee. And keep in mind, this is a very serious issue where billions of dollars are at stake, and this is how he handled with Reese Davis.
The College Football Playoff Selection Committee, Hunter Yurecek. Hunter, not a lot of changes. You had to go all the way down to number 15 last week to find a team that lost when SC lost to Oregon. But there was a change at 6-7 with Oregon and Ole Miss swapping spots. How much of an impact potentially could it be on Ole Miss if it's determined they don't have their head coach in the field?
6-7. But seriously, Rich, we didn't have any discussion about Ole Miss and their coach. That was all about Oregon and their performance against USC. Their strength of schedule continues to climb. They've been dominant on the offense and defensive side of the ball, really good in special teams. And the committee had been waiting for them to have a signature win to really put them where we thought they deserved to be.
Okay, very quickly, let's go. That is part of the criteria, though. If that were to occur, then that can be part of the consideration in evaluating Ole Miss, right?
It is in the protocol, but I'm not sure we will have a data point to use that as part of the protocol.
What do you mean by that? That you won't have a data, meaning that you don't know what's going to happen with the coaching situation, or you will not have seen the team play without the coach?
Correct.
Which is correct? The latter?
We will not have seen the team play Yes, we would not have seen the team play without a coach.
Okay. All right. That differs a little bit from seeing Florida State without a quarterback a couple of years ago.
Wasn't that the most uncomfortable, unprofessional interview you've heard? From a committee that's doing the playoffs, people are interested in this. Obviously, there's a lot of money at stake, but getting the playoffs or not. And you have a freaking 6-7 joke to begin with? What the hell is 6-7? Why does everybody say 6-7? I don't mean
absolutely
nothing.
I heard it's a song. I heard it's from a song that kids.
But all the kids say it now, and then we get the freaking AD of Arkansas saying it.
Well, and it was weird because it was such a long pause before he said anything.
It was bizarre. He was trying to be funny, and it wasn't because
I'm just imagining what he looks like in my head.
That's not a place to crack jokes. You're the chair of a committee, a very important committee, and you don't hear the NCAA.
Well, you got to loosen up a little bit. You got to have a little loose. Come on.
Man, fans were not having it. They already waited an hour for the damn rankings. They weren't having it. But then
you're not having it, I can tell.
No, it's pissed. And then he was asked about the criteria for Ole Miss losing the coach because this does.
And
come
I into totally
play.
Agree with what he said.
Yeah,
you have no data for it if he leaves. That's why I think both parties, if Lean leaves, which we both agree that we think he's leaving, right?
I think he stays.
Oh, you
now.
Think he stays? Okay, I still think he leaves, even though I think it would be the most lame thing if he says I'm not.
It could
going.
Be either way. Be honest,
right.
There's no.
But the reason he's doing it this way is even if he does leave, they have no data points to punish Ole Miss because hey, guess what? We don't know what they're going to look like without Lane because he's never been. They haven't been without him all year.
But he asked him two questions, right? And he paused. It was uncomfortable silence, and he said, "Correct." And so Reese goes, "Which one's correct? I ask you two questions." Like he didn't have an answer for it because that's actually a big sticking point if Lane leaves or not. And the reason so because you lose your coach right before the playoffs. And would they dock them like they did Florida State? They lost their quarterback Jordan Travis, and it was an undefeated team. And clearly, we saw what happened in the bowl game. Nobody played it anyway because they weren't in the playoffs. It didn't
but
matter.
But like I told you,
but there
before
were data
the
points
show,
for that.
There was data points. They played a game. Before the playoff committee.
Because Rodemaker was like the quarterback for like three games
right.
after Travis got hurt.
And I think that's why it's important, or the reason they've done what they're doing at Ole Miss, either he leaves and they have no data points on it, or he just stays and it's been a whole drama show for everyone to look at and be like, oh yeah, Lane has to be the center of attention. Either way, it works out for Lane and Ole Miss. It doesn't work out for Ole Miss, but it works out in the fact for the college football playoffs. If he leaves, they have no data points. You can't punish us because you don't know what we're going
to
look like.
But they have to discuss it because they're supposed to discuss these things. That's why they're doing Notre Dame in Miami, discussing which team's better at this point. Miami beat them earlier on.
But you don't think if he leaves, Ole Miss should be out completely?
Hell no.
Okay.
Hell no. I'd keep him in. Now, this could cost them a home game. Like, this could cost them a home game.
Because, okay, to be a home team, you have to be, what, 5-8? And they're, what, 5 right now? So you think they would drop four spots?
Six. They could because they're not going to be in the title game. Probably because, you know, it could be in the outside looking in. We'll see what happens. I mean, obviously, a lot of things can be determined this weekend for the SEC title game. But the bottom line is Ole Miss has a chance to be their winningest team ever. And here's the guy that everybody wants. It's how sports gets, man. Lane Kiffin's never been to a conference championship game, never won a conference. And yet, he's the big ticket item everybody wants. I think he stays, JT. I've gone back and forth on this. And I think he tells his team before the Egg Bowl. And they get fired up and inspired that their coach is staying. Because you know what, though? If he doesn't tell them beforehand, we go on the air at 11 o'clock when that game's on Friday, which we will be on during the Egg Bowl.
Right.
If he doesn't tell them at all, he's leaving. Because
well,
that would inspire them
to win. How are we
going to
know before the game? We won't know until after the game.
Twitter will have it.
You think so?
Some player will mention it to somebody.
Okay.
It'll get out.
I don't know if it will.
Who knows if he says it like right before the game? You could tell them the night before, but it would inspire the team, you would think. You would think you'd want to tell them. Like, you would want to tell them that information.
You can really find a way to tell why, by the way they play on Friday if he's leaving or going. Because if they come out sloppy and they don't look like they want to be there, then you could tell, okay, hey, maybe he is leaving. But I think they're going to come out with a vengeance, and Mississippi State's not that good.
Well, the unfortunate thing is they're playing so well, and it's the players playing the game, right? And their coach decides to leave.
Exactly. That's why you shouldn't be able to punish the players for what their coach is about to do.
And as Nick Saban said, they need to change this. So you're not talking to coaches like we saw Eric Morris being hired by Oklahoma State. And by the way, they're still in it too. North Texas could be that Group of Five team. So they're still in it. But their coach is going to stay. They're allowing him to stay and then coach the playoffs. It's an unusual situation, but they're allowing him to do it. But like James Franklin's hired. You know, the NFL waits, and then you can do interviews during bye weeks, during the playoffs. There's select times that you can interview. But college just lets you do it whenever, which is a joke and why they need a commissioner. So that coaches can't leave their players when they've had a good season. It's like almost, why even have a good season? Your coach is going to bolt. I get it. Players can leave and do all this stuff. But you have a chance to be in the playoffs. So anyway, what a joke that's going on. Lane, I think he stays, though. That's just my guess. I have no idea. Some people says he's staying. Some say he's going. We don't know. We don't know what Lane's doing. But he's got
I'm just
a lot
saying
of,
it's going to be the most Lane thing when he comes out and says he's not leaving LSU but going to Florida.
Chiefs, Cowboys, tail of the tape next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Fesco and Dusty. Jay Binkley here with JT Noah. You told me I had to talk about traffic. We already have our first mess. Man, leave the police alone, man. They got enough to
do. They're trying to get their turkey, man.
It's holidays, man. Everybody's got to work. They got to work. They don't need to be doing traffic accidents, man. They don't need traffic reports right now. You chill out. It's Thanksgiving, man.
If you're crashing on the day before Thanksgiving, there's a problem with you.
You think people are on their phones trying to get a Black Friday deal?
Yeah, probably.
Or I wonder texting. How many people are, instead of texting, they're trying to get a Black Friday deal and they're driving.
I don't know. You should not be crashing with so little traffic.
No, we shouldn't be crashing, period. But with the Chiefs, 3.5-point favorites on DraftKings over the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, Monday is December 1st. That's when you can go to sports books. That's when DraftKings, FanDuel, the rest, you can bet on your phone. You can sit at the comfort of your home and make bets. You don't have to do the Quick Trip Casino on 435 there, right when you cross over into Kansas. You don't have to be lining up on 435, out by Legends, if you're a Missouri resident. Wait until you get into Kansas to make your bets. One more weekend. One more weekend of doing that, but the rest of the time, it's right there. It's legalized in Missouri. You can sit there and do it. Gold was out there yesterday. Saw him last night on TV. He and Cody were at the new sports book out in Argosy. It's owned by the same people that own Hollywood Casino, but this place is awesome, GT. I mean, TVs everywhere. This is the place to go in, set. And you and I could go in on a Saturday and wait for Hawaii to play.
Yes, we could.
The last game of the night where you just put it all out to win it back. Is that usually more of a desperation play, or do you play Hawaii just to get ahead even more?
I feel like that's desperation.
It's the most bet on team. Hawaii used to be. I don't know if it still is.
They're a wagon, though. They're good. They're a wagon to bet on sometimes. So it works out.
So Chiefs and Cowboys tomorrow at 3:30. We have Black Friday football specials Friday all day. And we're talking NFL football. Obviously, the whole show is going to be about the Chiefs, like the Chiefs and Colts was basically the whole show yesterday. Obviously, we sprinkled in some egg talk for Thanksgiving tomorrow in college football. But the Kansas City Chiefs and Dallas Cowboys, the Chiefs put out their injury report because yesterday was an estimated one. They did a walkthrough. It was estimated Rashee Rice was going to be limited. You already know Trey Smith's going to be out of this game with an ankle sprain. So get used to Mike Caliendo playing for the Chiefs in this one. And as we mentioned yesterday, yes, the Chiefs have had problems running the football, but they're averaging 118 yards. Last year, they only averaged 105 yards. Matter of fact, the average for Patrick Mahomes as quarterback of the Chiefs has been 110 yards. They're above that this year at 118. And certainly that helped with that 100-yard performance by Kareem Hunt. But the Chiefs were already averaging 115.3 before that game, but it brought up to 118.3. They're 14th in the NFL in rushing the football, believe it or not. They're going to get a Pacheco back for this game. Rashee Rice was on the injury report again, but it was full participant, FP next to Rashee. And if you watched the game, you saw him come out with that hamstring, tried to fight his way back in there. They had him hold out for a couple plays. He comes back into the game. He gutted it out, looked fantastic in doing it. But when he caught the football, he went straight down. You could tell he was not just guarding the football, but guarding that hamstring as well. But they need him. And, of course, George Pickens, limited practice for the Cowboys. He's the one to watch. For Dallas, obviously, he and CeeDee Lamb have problems for other defensive backs trying to cover them. I think Pickens is the one doubled. Dak Prescott, believe it or not, 134.3 rating when targeting George Pickens. Has 1,000 yards already this year, 67 catches. The guy's been unbelievable for that team. Dallas's offense now goes to number one in the NFL, 387 yards a game. Last week it was the Colts. That was the number one offense in the NFL. They're at 384. Dallas Cowboys surpassed them now with 387. So the Chiefs, after they play tomorrow, will have played 1 through 4 total offenses in the NFL. We don't know the outcome of the Cowboys game yet. They lost to the Bills. They're number three on it. They beat the Lions. They beat the Colts. So they've won 2 out of the 3 when they played the top 4 offenses in the NFL. And number one, we'll find out at the conclusion of the game tomorrow. Chiefs run offense, as I mentioned, they're 14th, 5th in total offense, 376 per game. I mean, they are able to move the football. Number two in passing offense, 257.7. Mahomes second in the NFL in passing yardage. Pretty good for a guy everybody said is done. And the dynasty's over, being number two in the NFL. It's pretty good. The scoring offense for the Chiefs is 9th. Defensively, it's hard to look at Dallas. Okay, so their total defense is 29th, GT. The run defense is 20th. Their pass defense is 30th. Scoring defense, 31st. They're 31 in defensive points per drive. But things did change. They actually made some good moves. Bringing in Logan Wilson, Quinnen Williams. That's really the big one is Williams and what he's done with the Dallas Cowboys. So the defense, we have to look at it a little bit different. It's not typical like earlier in the year when the Broncos put 44 on them. They actually have been playing halfway decent the last couple weeks. Mahomes from the Dallas area, obviously White House, Texas, where he played high school football, was a Cowboys fan growing up, like Dak Prescott, as a matter of fact. So it's going to be interesting. Chiefs total defense is 6th. Run defense is 8th. Pass defense is 11th for the Chiefs. Scoring defense 4th, like it was last year. And again, they're better in every category, offensively and defensively, than the 24 Chiefs that won 15 games and went to the Super Bowl. This team is actually better in every single category. They're the same in scoring defense. The one category we talked about yesterday that eventually Andy Reid might be asked about it, but they're number one on fourth down defense with the bullet point, 23.5% when teams go against them. And I do think there's something to it because I'll continue to make a big deal out of it because fourth down defense is big. 23.5% is number one in the NFL. It used to be how you beat the Chiefs. You went 4 on fourth down. 57% is the average in the 7 years Mahomes has been a starter. It's been as high as 67% against the Kansas City Chiefs. Better than a coin flip to go for it. It made sense to go for it against the Chiefs when he came at the fourth down. And then, you know, this week and Tony Romo talking, the Colts need to go for it or not. Maybe they used to be. They were number one in attempts against. Then it went to third in attempts against their defense. Then it went to seventh in attempts. Now there's 16 teams ahead of them. So teams are getting the memo. Teams are getting the memo. When it's fourth down, maybe you want to punt. I don't care if it's fourth and one. The Chiefs found a way. They found a way to stop the Buffalo Bills last year in the postseason with the little sneak. Josh Allen goes to the left. By the way, that's a tell. We heard about the tell with Hairston and Xavier Worthy. The Chiefs had a tell on Josh Allen, knew which direction to load up the defense. Because that was a tell. And again, the Chiefs don't talk about their tells. You can talk about Harrison having a tell against Worthy and all that. You think for an instant the Chiefs, seven straight AFC title games, five of the last six Super Bowls, don't have tells on every single team they play? They just don't talk about it. There's a difference between those that don't talk about it, they just go do it. Chiefs are the ones teams that just go do it and they don't talk about it. Like baseball teams, they hold it in. If you're doing a tell and they know a curveball's coming, they won't tell anybody. They won't talk about it in the media afterwards. You don't tell when you know a tell about another team because you don't want them to change up what they're doing because it's an advantage to you of knowing what they're doing. But can this defense be as good as they were against the Colts? Because they were. And for the talk about Daniel Jones, is that their guy? I think there's good news for Kansas City in several ways. The Daniel Jones, I don't think he is that guy for Indy. They're going to make him that guy. He's on a one-year contract. He's going to get a long-term contract with Indy because they already stated that's their guy by making Sauce Gardner trade for two first-round picks. They said, that's our dude. Well, that's great, but it's good news for the Chiefs because he melted down at Arrowhead Stadium. Had no first downs in the fourth quarter or overtime. That's when a franchise quarterback does damage to another team. That's when you expect a franchise quarterback to be good. That's when you expect the fifth guy in MVP odds and Jonathan Taylor to be good. They weren't. 13 first downs for the Chiefs, zero for the Colts, 266 yards for the Chiefs, 18 for the Colts when it mattered. That's good news for Kansas City. Anytime you have a, quote, elite quarterback struggling at your place in the fourth quarter overtime, that's good news. I don't think we can put him in that Josh Allen category yet, Lamar Jackson, any of these guys. Daniel Jones is still on the outside. Lou Anarumo makes the biggest difference for the Colts, that defensive coordinator, because he has beaten the Chiefs before. He does frustrate Mahomes at times. He's now 3-4 against Mahomes. So it wasn't Jonathan Taylor, it wasn't Tyler Warren, it wasn't Daniel Jones. It was Lou Anarumo. That was the guy before the game we talked about being the X factor for the Colts, and it clearly was. But it's good news for the Chiefs to give the Colts false pretenses about their quarterback going forward. Differential turnovers, they're minus four. Chiefs are plus one. They're doing a better job of getting turnovers for this team and not turning the football over. If there's one area you look at this game, JT, I know we can look at it on paper, but they got to play the game. And there is, okay, Dallas, pretty good offense. You know what they can do. They're a weird team. You and I talked about weird teams, right? We talked about the Packers. They lost to the Browns. They lost to the Panthers. They've had a weird season. They tied the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas has been up, and they've been clearly down. Thanksgiving games, they are tougher.
I tend to think they're going to be up for this game, not just because it's Thanksgiving, not because it's a national holiday, not because they're playing the Chiefs, but because they're also at home. There's a lot going into this where I think the Cowboys will be up for it. Both teams pretty much are fighting for playoff spot. Both teams are pretty much in the same kind of spot situation, whatever you want to call it, in the playoff predicament where they've got to keep winning to get back into the playoffs to get on the good side of the wild card spot. Both teams right now are looking on the looking from the outside in, and so they need to get in to the party. That's all they want to do is get into the party and make something happen. Whether Dallas can do that, I don't know. I know the Chiefs can make some damage happen if they get into the playoffs, and that's all they got to do. They have a sliver of breathing room, the Chiefs do, if they decide they want to lose this game. I hope they don't, but they do have that going for them that they can lose this game and then win out. I would rather them win this game and then feel way more comfortable about the rest of the season. We will find out, but I do think the Cowboys will play up for this game.
Yeah. Hey, the text line brings up, who cares about the yards? They say we care about points. Okay. Well, they're actually scoring. They're 19th in the NFL in scoring offense, meaning they're putting points on. They're number two in the NFL in points per drive, meaning every time you have Mahomes, and keep in mind that fourth down defense is a big part of this, teams will go for it on fourth down. They'll turn the ball over on downs to the Kansas City Chiefs, put Mahomes back on the field. Now, are they scoring in the red zone? Well, it was bad examples this past week. Obviously, the Kareem Hunt fumble, which he doesn't do very often, just once, what, in his rookie year with the Chiefs. But they are number five in the NFL. Believe it or not, the Chiefs have 28 touchdowns in the red zone. Number one is the Colts, and we've talked about that crappy schedule they have. Number two is the Rams, then the Packers, Lions, then the Chiefs. The Chiefs are getting touchdowns right at 60% in the red zone. Okay, 28 touchdowns. The leader in the NFL has 32. They're four touchdowns behind inside the red zone. So, yeah, we could talk about yards all we want, text line, but they're actually scoring, believe it or not, they're scoring points. And again, there's two stats that matter. The only stats that matter, and I get it. Scoring offense, scoring defense. Total offense, total defense, that stuff doesn't matter. But scoring-wise, offense and defense does matter for the Kansas City Chiefs. But the good news is they're actually making some hay when they get to the red zone. And they're going for it on more record. They've already gone for it 23 times on fourth down. That is more than the history of Mahomes. They've gone for it more on fourth down. They're doing this stuff. And don't believe that nonsense that Sean Payton trotted out a couple weeks ago before he went to halftime, where he said the Chiefs are just a first-half team. It's totally BS. Ask the Colts. Ask the Colts if the Chiefs are first-half team. Ask the team that had 18 yards in the fourth quarter in overtime. Ask them if the Chiefs are a first-half team. I'm curious. What would they say? Is Sean Payton right, or is he flat-ass wrong? He's flat-ass wrong. And it wasn't just that game either. You go back to Lions, Ravens, all these games the Chiefs would score more in the second half. Hell, they scored more points in the second half than the Broncos did. But Peyton Peacocking made that statement. Did he watch the Commanders game? Chiefs only scored 7 points in the first half of that Commanders game. They scored 21 to put the game away in the second half. The Raiders game is not even counting. But 7 out of their 11 games, they've scored more in the second half than in the first half. The Raiders game's thrown out because it was 31-0, and they didn't need to score in the second half. Mahomes had a hat on by the fourth quarter. And Chris Jones. But the bottom line is, yeah, I understand about the yardage. But also, time of possession does matter because it keeps your defense fresh. When the Chiefs had the ball for 42 minutes and they had the ball for just 17 minutes, that stuff plays. That stuff plays. The only thing I'll listen to, the argument, is the Chiefs had more than 235 total yards than the Colts. That's happened 6 times before in the NFL. Jesse Newell put the stat out on Twitter. 6 times, 6-0 teams are. Average margin of victory, 23 points when that happens. Chiefs had to go to overtime to beat the Colts. I get that was a concern. But they did gift them a touchdown early on when Latu got the tip the ball and the pick. That hurt. The Kareem Hunt obviously hurt the Chiefs. They've got to find a way to eliminate the mental mistakes they have in the second half. It's costing the team, and you're not used to seeing it with this team. But last week was a good sign. A good sign that the second half, whether Sean Payton, you believe he's right or not, second half for the Chiefs to do that, cure the mental mistakes, and be able to close the game out and win the game. I didn't think there was any doubt they were going to come back and win that game. We've seen the movie. We've read the book. Mahomes 7-0 in overtimes in regular season. We know what happens. Butker was freaking great. 5 field goals in the game. That helped the Chiefs. Again, another great Brett Veach move when he went out in 17 and got Harrison Butker from the Panthers practice squad. Good move. Add that to your list of Veach things because he did do that. But they had to rely on Harrison Butker. But you knew at the end, Chiefs are cold-blooded, man. They're killers. And teams know it. Like, they're back. They got their swag. And that's the number one thing nationally. Whenever they crap on the Chiefs, they will admit that. And it took that. It took the Chiefs to do something in the second half like they've done in previous years. Go out, close the game out, beat a team, keep them reeling. The Colts were the hot team. Everybody was talking about the Colts. They were number one in all sorts of power rankings. To be honest with you, it looks like the Chiefs played the two best teams in the NFL by the national perception, playing the Broncos. They had to beat the Chiefs as time expired with the field goal, and then they played the Colts. And they played the best of the best. They played the Lions. They played the Bills. They played all these great offenses. They played the Eagles. They played some good teams. You know, it's not this crap-ass schedule that Indianapolis has. Wins of the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Titans twice. Yeah, they built up some numbers playing some bad teams. But are they real or are they fake? Are they contender or a pretender? Is Daniel Jones good now? Because he hasn't been, but all of a sudden, is he good now? He had Kyle Brandt fly in and do an interview with him. He had 7 turnovers in the 2 games prior to playing the Chiefs. Their schedule got tougher. They lose to the Steelers on the road, 32 pass defense in the NFL. Then they go to overtime with the Falcons. Then they go overtime with the Chiefs and lose that game. But when the chips are on the table and you get to the fourth quarter, real teams shine. And that's exactly what the Chiefs did offensively and defensively. They got the job done. When you keep a team to 18 yards, like the Colts had, all those 3 and outs. And again, I know there's a lot of blame on the Colts not going for it on fourth down and stuff, but do your homework, people. The Chiefs feast on that. 3 out of 4 times, they're getting the ball back. Less than 25% chance to get a first down on fourth down. So teams are going out, going for it on fourth down and losing it, and Mahomes going back on the field. And that's a bad combination in Arrowhead Stadium. So I understand their thinking. I understand you punt the ball, put Lou Anarumo in that defense that's been so nasty to the Chiefs at times. You trust him more, and they should trust him more than anybody else. But Romo or whatever they're babbling about, they won't talk about how damn good. Everybody talks about how good the offense is on fourth down, which they've been good. How about the defense? How about talking about them? How about giving them some shine? How about erasing a 57% average down to 23.5? That's the most impressive number for the Chiefs. 100% what they've done on fourth down defense. And the fact the teams have gotten the memo and they're not going for it on fourth down defense now. But make no mistake about it, JT. We can kind of pull the Colts in that offense and what they're doing back. Next week is going to be different. Next year is going to be different. Different schedule, playing teams home or road. Where the two extraneous games that you have, finishing in first place makes things much different. Much more difficult. You have the expectations on you. We'll see how they handle it because other teams haven't. Other teams have peed down their leg when they have expectations.
Well, the craziest part is it seems like you're not getting away from Buffalo. You're like, oh, hey, we're going to get away from Buffalo because Buffalo win their division and we might not win ours. Oh, wait, they're not going to win their division either. We might finish second in our division as well as they do. And then you meet each other again. It's crazy how things work like that. But yeah, I mean, if you finish second, you get second place teams. If you finish first, you get the best of the best. So I get it. You're probably not winning your division this year, but maybe next year your schedule is a quote unquote a little bit weaker where you can take advantage of that.
Now, text line says he was right. Bo Nix outplayed him. Okay. One game. You think Bo Nix is the answer? Think he's going to outplay Mahomes at Arrowhead Stadium? Now, the one thing that will be on Bo Nix's side that wasn't mentioned, he did have 18 straight games touchdown pass before he played the Chiefs, but they're playing a lot like the Chiefs. And you know what? Going forward, I trust that Broncos defense this year and what they're doing because they're elite and what they do in pass rush is elite. But do you trust when free agency hits and that defense is all of a sudden poached for what they have? And then all of a sudden you're relying on Bo Nix to be the dude. Mahomes has been the dude when it's been the offense, when it's been the defense, and back to the offense, and both of them good together at the same time now. Just like Brady. Brady was relied on that defense. Then it's about their offense. Then it's their defense. He built those rings up, to be honest with you, a lot of times when that defense was good. He didn't win a ring with Randy Moss. He didn't win it with Wes Walker. He won it with Deion Branch. He won it with Troy Brown. He won it with the great defense. So I don't 100% understand what you're saying. And yes, they got the game. Big deal that happens in the NFL. They were the home team. This is what happens in the NFL. But do you really trust Bo Nix over Patrick Mahomes? Remind me how many Super Bowls he's been to. None. Talk about a three-time Super Bowl MVP. You're talking about a team that, quote, couldn't run, ran for 148 yards when they had 74 and the top rusher in the NFL. One running back in the last 30 games has gone for 100 yards against the Chiefs. That's what matters. We can argue about Bo Nix having more passing yards than Mahomes and all that. That's fine. That's going to happen. But not happen all the time. Let's not forget, the Broncos did lose 16 straight to the Chiefs. Let's not lose sight of that.
But that's the past.
Let's not lose sight the last 10 years the Chiefs are.
I mean,
they're 17
that's the
and 3
past.
Against the Chiefs.
I love, I mean, I get it.
It is.
But I mean,
but
they're,
you trust
new,
them
they're a
more
new
than the
team.
Chiefs?
They're a new team. I'm not saying I trust them more. I'm just saying you got to give them credit where it's due. We were preaching about the Chiefs last year, how they were winning one score games and finding ways to win. The
yeah,
Broncos
I gave them
are
credit
the
for
same.
That. Game winning drives for them. Yeah, that's again, they're impressive this year with that defense and that offense. What I'm saying is, when the defense is poached and you're solely
but who
relying
says
on
Bo Nix, who says their defense is going to get poached?
Happens to everybody.
I mean, their defensive end is under contract. Zach Allen's under contract. They're two big guys.
Zach is.
Yeah, but so is what's his name?
And they drafted well. Jonnu Barron, obviously, he's gonna. And him and Surtain, whenever he's healthy, those two out there. Jonnu Barron was a good draft pick by him. I'm just saying, can you rely on Bo Nix to be the dude? Because at some point, you need an elite quarterback to lead the way. And wait till the postseason. Things get very, very different for quarterbacks in the postseason than the regular season. Things are completely
different.
Benito's
under contract.
Yeah.
Those two right there, Zach Allen and Benito,
but
are
people
key.
Figure out a way to slow them down.
Well, yeah.
And right, remember they had this huge lead on sacks? It's now 49-42. It keeps shrinking
down. Well, okay.
Down.
I'm sorry. Cleveland got 10 on the Raiders. Cleveland's the better. Cleveland and the Denver Broncos plus the Houston Texans have a really good pass rush. That's what's scary about Houston in a couple weeks.
I'm not taking anything away from them. What I am taking away is when Sean Payton peacocks and says the Chiefs are first half team.
Oh, I know. That got you fired up.
And what I'm saying is ask the Colts. Chiefs scored 14 points in the second half. Colts scored none.
Right.
That's what matters.
Right.
Ask Sean Payton to talk to the Colts if the Chiefs are first half team. Because Colts would say no. They would say no, they play the whole game.
And we've gone over this. We did the Mythbusters last week where we confirmed that it was a myth. And that was just a thing to get people rowdied up.
It's a myth. But contenders or pretenders, who are you really believing in the NFL? We'll get to that in the 9 o'clock hour as well. But coming up next, I think Colin Cowherd, who's been up and down with the Kansas City Chiefs, makes a really good point about the Chiefs next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Jay Dinkley, Jukey Noah, producing the operation. Text line saying, well, Denver's going to lose Vance Joseph, their defensive coordinator. Maybe. Or does he kind of know his role now? He's 53, still young enough to do it. There's going to be some job openings. Would he leave? Would he get another chance? Remember, Vance Joseph's having the best time of his life. I mean, it takes a lot to go back to an organization you were fired from, doesn't it?
Oh, but maybe 100%.
Maybe he's pigeonholed into what he is. Some guys feel that way, you know? Spags just never got his second chance.
Yeah, I think Spags has figured out that he's a great defensive coordinator and maybe coaching's not his thing, and maybe that's what Vance Joseph has figured out.
Which, there's no shame in that. Ton of money in it. Ton of money you can get being a defensive coordinator if that's what you are, and some guys are like this. Like Norv Turner. You know, didn't do great as head coach, even though he did lead the Chargers to the postseason, got a couple wins out of it, but better coordinator. Like, we'd all look at Norv Turner and say, well, he's a better coordinator than he was head coach. It happens.
Dom some Capers, are better being a better coordinator in the college realm and in the NFL. Chip Kelly, maybe go back down to college.
You and I talked about Chip because now he's a free agent. Raiders candy.
Yeah, and he was the second highest paid coordinator.
Yes, he was.
Unbelievable.
Chip Kelly, who was good at Oregon, right? He was good there. He did leave UCLA as the head coach, right, to go be the offensive coordinator at Ohio State.
And which I don't blame him for that. I don't blame him for
that. It's a better job, and he won a national title. And then the Raiders bought into it. They said, yes, there's their answer. Chip Kelly needs to stay in college.
It doesn't help that you don't have a quarterback or an offensive line.
True.
But I'm not here trying to defend Chip Kelly saying that he didn't deserve to be fired. But I just don't think the players were around him to help his scheme work to his full potential.
I mean, what is there now? 11 openings in college football? That guys can grab it to. They're going to get the Chip. They're going to, because there's not enough, you know, and guys out there for the jobs that they have at big levels.
And what do you think's the biggest opening right now?
There's going to be, it's either between Florida or LSU, to be honest with you. However you want to dice
and
that.
If the rumor mill is where it's at with Kevin DeBoer, there might be a bigger opening coming. If he goes to Penn State, that'd be insane.
But big jobs open. There's 10 jobs open right now. Obviously, Eric Morris. He of finding a Mateer at Oklahoma, Patrick Mahomes as well. The guy's kind of been the quarterback whisperer. But Florida's open, Arkansas's open, Cal's now open for some reason. I don't know why they got fired. Wilcox, he did lose Fernando Mendoza and Jack Andrews.
And it sounds like they already hired someone, though. They hired the Montana coach.
Yeah, in Montana. But Cal's open. LSU is open. Oregon State's open. Penn State, Stanford, UAB, UCLA, and Auburn. I mean, UCLA is a former big name. It is a place that you can win at. And now Auburn. And at least they're in the Big Ten. So they have that going for them. And Auburn's a good job. But we've seen James Franklin out at Va Tech. Seen Eric Morris at Oklahoma State. And looks like Jim Mora Jr. Not playoffs. Not that Jim Mora, but his son. Is going from UConn to Colorado State.
Yeah, and I asked you, do you think that's an upgrade?
I guess because they're not independent. Because maybe that's why they're in a conference. I don't know.
He's done well at UConn. I'll give him that. I mean, UConn used to be like the KU football. Well,
they've got a Blednikoff guy, a finalist for a wide receiver. But they're independent, so they're still an independent team, so maybe that's why. I don't know. But Colin Cowherd's been up and down on the Chiefs, but he makes a good point about the Chiefs now having their punch. I mean, Stella did get their groove back against the Colts.
Some of you may not remember this, but I do. When George Foreman, remember George Foreman 2.0, boxing for titles in his 40s? He was slower. Foreman was older. He had a dad bod, but he still carried a punch with that dad bod. That's where the Chiefs are right now. That game yesterday, forget the first three quarters. That was about the fourth quarter in overtime. Kansas City was tough and resilient and fighting their butt off. And they were clutch. 236 yards, fourth quarter in overtime. Another team, Indy, had a 29 lead in a fumble recovery and choked like a cat on a hairball. Daniel Jones, last 3 weeks, regressed into the New York Giant, Daniel Jones. Chiefs are not a great team, but they fight and scratch and claw, and they've still got that George Foreman punch.
So they got the punch. Do you believe the punch is back for the Kansas City Chiefs? Do they have their swag back?
I don't think they have their swag back.
Okay.
I don't.
It takes more body work than just one game.
Exactly. I need to see it happen. If they go out there and they win tomorrow, then I'm going to be like, okay, hey, we got something here. We're swagging. We're getting into that that surf mode. Like we're about to start surfing back and forth in the wave. But I need to see more. I just can't have one game and be like, hey, you did it. It was against Daniel Jones. It was against the Colts. Let's see you do it against the Cowboys.
They finally did it, right? But this is who they are.
I need to see it consistently. We haven't seen it consistently, so I need to see them do it consistently before I say, okay, they got their swagger back.
And they've had their chances, definitely had their chances against the Eagles. It's right there.
Against the Eagles. You had it against the Lions, the Jags.
Baltimore, and I get it. People are using the injuries as an excuse, even though Lamar Jackson did start that game.
Jackson was in that game, and they were getting handedly beat before he was taken out.
They were 3.5-point favorites against the Chiefs at Arrowhead. And then afterwards, everybody says uses the injuries as an excuse. However, they had those injuries going into the game. It wasn't just like that happened during the game. It went into the game, and they got even further injured against the Kansas City Chiefs. But anyway, it's good for the Chiefs to have the tiebreaker over the Baltimore Ravens at this point. But Dallas, do you view this game as must win like you did against the Broncos, possibly for the AFC West, or the next week against the Colts, must win to be in the playoffs? Like, I don't look at it that way. Because if you are going to lose a game, lose it to the NFC. Like, you don't want them to. Like, you don't want them to lose this game. But if you're going to lose any of the rest of the games out, between like Houston and the Chargers and Denver and well, they play the Titans and the Raiders. They don't matter. But the home games do matter for the Kansas City Chiefs. But this is technically the one you can drop. You don't want to, but you technically can.
I know. I would really like them to win this game. I get it. But I understand where people are like, oh, they don't got to win it. It's not a must-have win. I just think it needs to be a must-have win. I need to see consistently winning football.
Think about the psyche. You win this one following the Colts win. You played the top two offenses in the NFL. You got wins over both. Then you get the mini bye. It's not about the coaching and Andy Reid after bye. It's beyond that. It's about guys getting some rest. Having that bye, you know, done on Thanksgiving night. Then you get Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. You're chilling out watching Red Zone. then you get back at it. But having Houston and having these teams at home, huge for the Chiefs, especially Sunday night, to come back from that, is Logan and Drew. Oh, by the way, Logan, you can chime in. I'm just curious your question. I asked this earlier because Juwan Jennings was nut-tapped. Would you rather be spit on or nut-tapped?
Nut-tapped. Thank you, Logan. Thank you.
So Logan goes there. We'll find out from Drew firsthand because you're going to punch Drew in the jewels, correct? Isn't that the way it is, JT?
I guess I am.
Okay. All right. Give him the choice, spit on or nut-tap. Give him the choice of which one he wants. We'll play NFL contender or pretender next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.